Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Oh, by the way, are those jeans you're wearing?
You thought these were jeans? That's what I want people to think. They're not jeans. They're khaki, but you think they're jeans. Look at this.
Look at this. They look like jeans, right?
They no one's going to know. No one's going to know.
They look really nice.
No. Here we go. 3, 2. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Wednesday, almost Thursday, January 5th.
This pod.
Yeah, Jack, what do you think?
It's the best one yet.
This is it. This is a TBOY. This is the best one yet. First story.
Fanatics was worth $18 billion for sports jerseys, hats, and fan gear.
Wow.
But now it wants trading cards, too.
Fanatics, they're using wrestling moves to make trading cards happen.
For our second story, the biggest corporate fraud trial since Enron has reached a verdict.
Elizabeth Holmes is guilty and is probably going to jail.
For our third and final story, Toyota is now America's biggest car maker.
Shocker.
Ending Detroit's 90-year streak.
9 decades. Snackers, it all comes down to one word. Muda.
But before we hit those stories,
Muda.
You know what pairs well with a Big Mac?
Oh, Jack, how about a 30-minute bike ride while you're chewing that Big Mac?
Snackers, wild story over in China.
McDonald's
in China is testing a new thing.
We're talking an exercise bike that is the seat at McDonald's.
You pedal while you're eating your Big Mac.
When we were predicting like the robot restaurants in our predictions pods, Jack, I don't think we were envisioning this.
It's going to look.
Please,
you roll
Jack
up to a McDonald's.
Why not?
And you grab your Happy Meal.
Lovely.
But instead of sitting at a chair with the tabletop,
I'm following you.
The chair is an exercise bike with pedals built into
it. So like you're eating your 20-piece McNuggets while you're burning 20 calories cycling.
They encourage you to work out while you're eating.
This is happening at the same time. Ipso facto, this is simultaneous workout and eating.
Because calories don't count if they disappear while you're intaking them.
That's Newton's fifth law of physics. You nailed it, Jack.
Now, this is like SoulCycle for your stomach.
It is. It is like if you ordered a Happy Meal, but instead of a toy, you got a Peloton.
And it's not just about healthiness.
No, they kick things up like three notches over at China McDonald's.
When you're pedaling, that's energy. and the pedals generate electricity.
Seriously, that's like the sixth law of physics.
There's an iPhone cord that comes out of the bike, and you can charge your phone while you're pedaling, while you're eating.
So your pedaling generates the electricity.
So you fill your belly with the McFlurry, you burn the McFlurry.
You arrive with the empty battery, and then you fill your battery.
Ronald McDonald, not just mascot.
No.
Spin instructor.
Yeah, nothing motivates more than a clown yelling at you, pedal harder.
Let's get couple of these in the U.S., please.
Why not? And then, Jack, let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks about the hair ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Fanatics. We're talking a $29 billion sports apparel company. They are buying Topps trading cards out of nowhere.
Because to win a deal,
yeah,
you gotta give them equity.
Jack, if you are wearing a flat brim Sox hat, a Maple Leaf sweater, the New York Rangers beanie for your little cockapoo, you probably got it at Fanatics.
What about the pinstripes?
You got to go with the pinstripes. How about our buddy Timmy? He's like, wardrobe is sponsored by Fanatics.
Timmy has so many New York Giants jerseys.
If you're born in Westchester, you're born with both a home and away Giants jersey.
Our buddy Timmy is the best Giants fan I know, for the record.
Fanatics, though, is the sports apparel startup of startups.
Fanatics took on Nike, Adidas, and Reebok in the sports jersey apparel
game. We're talking the Derek Jeter number 2.
The Megan Rapinoe number 15.
The Russell Westbrook number 0.
They're all manufactured by Fanatics. Fanatics sold online.
Also, Jack, I'm looking at this right now. The Fanatics founder, get this, he used his bar mitzvah money as seed capital for his first startup. Michael Rubin.
Do you know what that first startup was?
Talk to me. What is it?
He was buying and then reselling skis.
Yeah.
So he's a go-getter.
But Fanatics isn't a tech company.
They're not a ski company.
No.
Either.
But Fanatics throws up numbers like a tech company.
It's worth $29 billion.
With a B.
Because back in the 90s, Fanatics focused on e-commerce way before Nike and Adidas were even thinking about it.
And now Fanatics is the official partner of like just about every single major sports league for fan merchandise.
And it's worth $29 billion, but it's a sumo stock.
It is, yeah. We're straight up missing out, S-U-M-O.
But this week, Fanatics pulled a move straight out of the squared circle.
Yeah, this is a classic wrestling move that Fanatics did on arrival.
In August, Fanatics out of nowhere launched a trading card division.
Yeah, like forget the Derek Jeter jersey. They started doing Derek Jeter 3-inch baseball cards.
Only one issue there.
Yes,
they had no idea how to make trading cards.
Because Fanatics, they deal with cotton, not cardboard.
They had no printing press. Uh-uh. They don't know how to put holograms on those things.
What are they doing over there? They don't know what they're doing.
But they didn't care. They outbid Topps, the baseball card icon.
Classic.
That made Mickey Mantle cards back in the 50s and won the exclusive deal with Major League Baseball to make cards.
But Snackers, for the last 70 years, Major League Baseball has had a deal with Topps since your like great-granddaddy to make baseball cards.
But Topps got dumped for Fanatics.
So Topps was devastated.
Baseball cards is what Topps does.
Topps' passion in life is baseball cards.
So Topps had to cancel their SPAC that was planned.
They're supposed to go public
at $1.3 billion.
And here's where things get freaky, Snackers.
Yesterday, Fanatics announced they are buying Topps
for
a fraction of what it used to be worth before it got dumped by Major League Baseball.
So what we're saying is that Fanatics crushed Topps' valuation by snagging their baseball card deal.
That's not corporate finance.
And then Fanatics acquired Topps.
That is a wrestling move off the top turnbuckle.
So, Jack, what is the takeaway for our buddies over at Fanatics?
If you give equity, you are teammates in growth.
Snackers, why did Major League Baseball break up with Topps after 70 years of being baseball card buddies?
Because the MLB is a part owner of Fanatics.
Yeah, unlike Nike and Adidas, Fanatics offered sports leagues equity in their startup years earlier.
And that's a big reason why the leagues partnered with Fanatics.
Yeah, totally.
They wanted to partner with the company that they are part owner of, too.
Jack, looking at the cap table here, you know who else is an investor in Fanatics?
The NFL.
Yep.
And all of the NFL players, since the NFL Players Association is a part owner of Fanatics.
This strategy of sharing equity with partners is what's propelled Fanatics to a $29 billion valuation.
And it's also how Fanatics launched a business that was nothing.
Didn't exist.
6 months ago.
Cards didn't do that.
And now the trading card division alone at Fanatics is worth a reported $10.4 billion.
Fanatics, they gave powerful partners equity.
Because now they're teammates in growth.
For our second story, the tech trial of the decade, Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos has been found guilty.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Can put you in jail.
Also, the last time we're probably ever going to talk about Theranos now.
Unless we say this is the biggest corporate trial since Theranos.
There we go. That's true. Or she teams up with Adam Newman and they launch like a real estate pharma company.
Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes.
Not just a popular Silicon Valley Halloween costume.
Oh my God. 2020, you know, you had the turtleneck, you had the red lipstick, maybe a little vial of blood in your left hand.
But the key is that gaze.
Yes.
That focused gaze into your friend's soul.
Yeah, that. And then maybe you would like mimic Steve Jobs' voice by going a couple octaves lower.
Elizabeth Holmes dropped out of Stanford and famously launched Theranos.
$9 billion Theranos. It was a startup that everyone loved because it could do blood tests with a tiny prick of blood, except it couldn't.
And the 15-week trial of alleged fraud is over. And most of the trial was prosecutors showing evidence of founder Elizabeth Holmes fraud.
So where did they go to show that fraud, Jack?
Pitch decks.
The classics, the pitch decks that every startup has to whip up and show investors.
She used these pitch decks to persuade super wealthy individuals to invest in Theranos.
And these pitch decks were the key to the case because slide number 3 and slide number 6 and slide number 8 were misleading.
For instance, Holmes doctored some documents to make Pfizer's logo suggest that Pfizer approved the science of Theranos, which they didn't.
Look, Canva is a fantastic tool, but you just can't do that in a PowerPoint.
And tricking investors into thinking Pfizer endorses your product, yeah, that's not just misleading.
No, it's
that
not.
Is criminal fraud.
Now, that is what the prosecutors allege. But the defense, they portrayed Elizabeth Holmes over the last 15 weeks as a victim of abuse herself.
They also portrayed her as an entrepreneur whose startup unfortunately failed.
Yeah, they were like, hey, look, failure happens. It's not a crime. Leave Liz alone.
But the jury didn't buy it. They convicted Elizabeth Holmes on 4 of the 11 charges brought against her.
Now, for each conviction, Elizabeth Holmes faces up to 20 years of jail time. Oh, and she may have to pay $3 million.
She's going to appeal, though, and experts think she won't spend 20 years in jail, but she'll spend some.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for everyone who was watching this legendary trial?
This is rare. A corporate wrongdoer actually going to jail.
Snackers, there is a history of corporate crime that is filled with empty jail cells.
That's because of the unique nature of white-collar crime.
Yeah, Jack, for example, the U.S. financial crisis, it caused billions of dollars in damages and completely destroyed lives.
But no financial executives ended up in jail.
Jack, you got America's opioid crisis that's resulted in over 1 million dead and addicted.
But the Sackler family, which invented and pushed OxyContin across America, has avoided criminal charges.
But now you got Elizabeth Holmes victims who were a way smaller group. We're talking like just extremely wealthy investors.
Yeah, and the damages, the victims?
Yeah.
It was $1 billion worth of investment that got destroyed. But that pales in comparison to the damages of the Great Recession and the opioid crisis.
So here's what we think this case really reveals.
It's easier to convict when the victims and damages are very clear and very calculable.
It's a whole lot harder to convict when the damage is big and broad spread across millions of people.
Which white-collar crime often is.
For our third and final story, Toyota. They just ended one of the greatest streaks we had ever even heard of in American business history.
You don't get great streaks outside of sports.
You really don't. No, you really don't.
Like, you got Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak.
You do.
You got Lou Gehrig's games played streak.
You got the UConn Huskies women's basketball.
They won 111 straight games over 3 seasons.
We were trying to look at, I found like a Beyonce Grammy streak, but then that was proved wrong at one point. I don't know.
But this is a streak outside of the arena, and it is one of the great streaks of business history.
1931, General Motors passed Ford as the top car seller in the United States, and they held on to that record for how many years, Jack?
90. Because Nana buys the Buick,
yeah.
Uncle Buck buys the Cadillac, and you get the Chevy Silverado. This is all the GM
family. Until yesterday.
The 90-year streak is over because Toyota just announced they were the top-selling car company in America in 2021.
They knocked out GM's
crown. The first time ever that a foreign car company has sold the most cars in the United States.
It's like the plot of every season of Game of Thrones.
Toyota stock jumped 7% on this news to an all-time high.
Okay, so Toyota is now worth $320 billion, which is like 20 lifts.
And it's more than Ford and GM combined. In fact, since the 80s, Toyota has consistently been the most profitable car company in the world and the most valuable.
Until Tesla, just because Tesla is Tesla.
Now, here's the best part of the story. Toyota, unbelievable accomplishment. Yeah. They're not bragging. In fact,
they're embarrassed. Honestly, Toyota, Jack, Toyota is embarrassed that they took the top crown in the U.S.
Here's what Toyota's U.S. chief told CNBC about this milestone.
He said, you know what? Quote, unquote, this wasn't our goal.
He said, don't expect this from us.
He said, it's literally not sustainable for them to be the best in America.
Last year, GM sales fell while Toyota's rose.
Toyota's 2.3 million vehicles sold last year. That was 114,000 more than General Motors sold.
Toyota doesn't want to brag, even though they kind of deserve to brag.
Yeah, because General Motors and Ford didn't have computer chips last year.
So they had to shut down some factories during crucial times.
But Toyota had enough computer chips last year.
They weren't sharing them.
Yeah.
But they had enough.
So Jack, what is the takeaway for our buddies over at Toyota and our favorite word?
Their success all comes down to our favorite Japanese word, muda.
Muda. Muda, muda, muda. Japanese term for wasteful. And Toyota, they hate muda. They
According
hate it.
To Toyota's corporate website, muda they define as any process that doesn't add value.
And snackers, there are seven types of muda in this world that are not adding value.
And unless you find and destroy all seven types of muda,
we repeat, destroy the muda,
then that waste is going to erode Toyota's processes and eventually their profits.
So destroying muda, that requires obsession with operational efficiency, and it's how Toyota became the most valuable car company.
Until Tesla.
Right, true. Toyota's U.S. sales, they grew while General Motors shrank because Toyota was able to source chips.
Crushing muda. I heard about it first at business school.
We loved crushing muda.
But it's how Toyota was able to find those chips so quickly.
It's a manufacturing religion and a life philosophy.
And just helped Japanese Toyota make American history.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Fanatics outbid tops. Now it's acquiring tops.
Yeah, it gave equity to have teammates in growth.
Theranos' Elizabeth Holmes has been convicted guilty.
Yeah, we got the rare corporate wrongdoer going to jail.
Toyota broke GM's 90-year streak.
Because Toyota has a history of crushing muda.
Which helped it avoid muda even when there was a chip shortage.
Because we all hate muda.
Muda is the worst.
Time for our snack fact of the day. This one tweeted in by Nathan Cormier over in lovely Indianapolis, Indiana.
Middle names didn't exist before 1835.
Before that, it was just like a fad in ancient Rome to sound fancy that like slowly died over time.
But in 1835, it was introduced in a university textbook, according to Nathan.
Get this, snackers. Only three of the first 17 American presidents even had a middle name.
Way back in 1911, just one of every three American children were even given a middle name.
But in the last century, the middle name has like roared back to become a thing.
Now, Dumbledore has three middle names.
This is like a snack fact within a snack fact.
My buddy Doug Grunzeich, he's got older siblings with middle names. But when he was born as a triplet, his parents are like, I'm not coming up with six names.
And isn't your first name actually your middle name, Jeff?
No, but my first name is technically John. Right,
that's what I was going for.
And sometimes I call myself John Jack Crane.
Gave yourself two middle names. All right, there we go. Must be nice. Snackers, you look fantastic today. If you haven't yet, turn to the person next to you when you're getting lunch and say, hey, HYHYS day.
Have you had your snacks daily?
If you know, you know.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That's how we grow. And before we go, a thanks to Vinny and Angie Sabatino in South Florida for all their Naples recommendations. Thanks for the restaurant.
And happy one-year workiversary at Google to Dolly Wang in Shanghai.
And Robert and Brianna Radcliffe, happy nine-year anniversary down in Boyd in Iowa.
Happy 21st to Karina Gonzalez in Orlando, Florida.
And Raj V. Mehta, happy birthday over in Seattle.
And anybody else celebrating today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. Nick and I both own stock in Peloton.
Robinhood Snacks, newsletters, and podcasts reflect the opinions of only the authors who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and do not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. They are meant for informational purposes only and are not a recommendation to buy or sell any security, cryptocurrency, or investment strategy in any account. This is not an offer or sale of a security, not a research report, and is not intended to serve on the basis for any investment decision. Any third-party information provided therein does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc., Robinhood Financial, LLC, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal and past performance, does not guarantee future results. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
That was great.
You hear my turnbuckle line?
That was really
top
good.
Turnbuckle.
Dude, that was a perfect verbology.
And I also threw in the squared circle. Which is another...
That's an if you know, you know.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.